For Wisconsinites with ties to Ukraine, no doubt the Russian invasion has been nightmarish. Russia's full-scale attack on their ancestral homeland is a serious threat to friends and family members. We learn what loved ones are going through on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. According to U.S. Census figures, more than 10,000 Wisconsinites identify as having a Ukrainian background. Do you have ties to Ukraine? Have you heard from your kin? How are they doing? What are your fears? It's 800-642-1234. Jonathan Polipiv is a Ukrainian-American in the village of Kimberly near Appleton. He founded a Facebook page gathering Wisconsin Ukrainians. Jonathan, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thank you so much for having me on the air today and this morning, be able to speak to the community and people. As a Wisconsin Ukrainian, I just appreciate the opportunity for people all over the state and all over the world listening to the Ukrainian voice, voice that we've not, you know, a lot of people haven't heard, so we appreciate being able to share directly from our friends and family what's happening in Ukraine and the Russian invasion.
Well, our heart goes out to you, and thank you for sharing your story and taking the time. How are you and your family doing?
You know, people ask that, and, you know, the Midwest nice thing is to say, it's like, oh, everyone's fine, things are good. Mm. The reality is people are not fine. We're not good. My family is not good. They're in war. They're alive, but there's other friends and family of ours. They're really close to where Russian troops are, and there's jets flying. There's tanks in their neighborhoods. There's bullets flying. There's rockets hitting civilian infrastructure, buildings, apartments. The Ukrainian people are not fine, but remarkably, they're incredibly calm and resolved together for fighting for their freedom and their life and their willingness just to do whatever it takes just to live as an independent nation. And that makes me extremely proud as a Ukrainian American. And I like this calmness. It's you know, that's all I hear is we're trying to remain calm. And then they're just uniting together against Putin's invasion of Ukraine.
Remain calm. You arrived in the U.S. as a child in the 90s. Can you take us into your story and how you came here?
Yes. So it's a long and a complex story, but I will just cover some of the main basics. So Ukraine voted to become independent in end of 1991. And this was after the Soviet Union was starting to collapse, and the Soviet Union decided that each you know, republic or a group of, you know, states could become, you know, they have more autonomy. Well, Ukrainians voted for independence. It was overwhelmingly strong. I believe it was like 90-some percent voted for independence. At the time, I had been living in Ternopil, which is in the western part of Ukraine, with my maternal grandmother. She had been raising me since I was a child. My biological parents died tragically when I was a young child, so she was taking care of me. But at the time, her and my grandfather lived in the village where my grandfather had been working at a collective farm, which was another thing from the Soviet Union, which was not really a great situation or system. You know, Ukraine can feed a lot of people because of its abundance of natural resources, agriculture. But the inefficiency and just the stealing of Ukrainian wealth from and the pilfering from the leadership of the Soviet Union, it just really never really materialized the opportunities Ukrainians had. So anyway, my family had been living in the village, and then my grandmother, in order for my grandmother and my grandfather to have custody of my brother and I, she had to move to the city. So this means that my grandmother lived in the city with me and my brother, while my grandfather lived in the village working on this collective farm. And it just shows their love for us. So this way we're not institutionalized in an orphanage. And then in 1992, there was a Christian a group that sponsored about 125 Ukrainian children. And that number, I just don't have exact because I've seen a couple different numbers. And I was a child when I was in this group. I was 8 years old. But in 1992, we came to the United States. We settled in the northern Wisconsin or northern Illinois, southern Wisconsin areas. And because this is because the infrastructure, it just was completely collapsing in the republics, former republics of the Soviet Union, because, you know, it's been decades and decades of Soviet rule. Things just changed, and they were changing. There's a lot of stress in the communities. So we were supposed to stay for several months. Some of us ended up staying completely in the United States, while many of the children went back to Ukraine. Mm. And we were all children deprived of parental care when we came. So that is part of my story. And I've been living in Northeast Wisconsin area majority of my adult life, except I did spend a year abroad for about a year when I was deployed with the United States military and the Wisconsin Army National Guard, doing convoy securities throughout Iraq.
You traveled to Ukraine in 2014 to visit your brother. I believe you were reunited with him. And this is a really pivotal time for Ukraine, you know, as the country had these widespread protests who wanted to oust the pro-Russia president. Can you explain a little bit about what it was like when you went back?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, and what precipitated this return is, I think anyone that has loved ones or just parts of them elsewhere, they're part of their hearts, there's this willingness and just want and desire to connect. That's what I had. After in 2013, I lost a very good military friend of mine that I deployed. He died prematurely, and it just kind of really altered a lot of the trajectory of my life. And I needed to reconnect to my family in Ukraine, because until then we were just we had grown disconnected. I was a child and I just didn't know where I belonged as a Ukrainian American living in Wisconsin. And I just felt disconnected, and I just didn't feel always like I belonged. And part of that is because I had family still in Ukraine, that was still part of my heart and my life. So in 2014, I was able to get reconnected because one of the children that was part of this group I came with, he helped me connect with my brother. It's a remarkable story. So my friend Andrei Nazarenko started a nonprofit in Ukraine called Orphans Future. And Orphans Future helps orphans transition from institutionalized living into living in society and be able to acclimate, learning how to take care of themselves, grocery shop, cook, things that they couldn't live and learn to do without having peers and mentors or parents, certainly. So my friend Andrei, he helped find my brother. He helped me connect with him. Then we started talking on Skype and Facebook, and then we made plans. Both my wife, Mara, and I, we made plans to go to Ukraine in 2014. But yes, the revolution of dignity started, the Euromaidan, because there's a regime, the Putin regime, well, very friendly, and they're just very, just the Ukrainian people had been fed up, so they overthrew this regime, and, you know, Russia didn't like that, so they were doing whatever they could. So at this time, I had made plans, my wife and I made plans, but we were determined that at least I was going to go. Mm. So at the time, my wife was pregnant, so we made a decision that she shouldn't come to Ukraine. She was due in July. At this time, it was March, so we just thought, you know what, it'd be best if I just go, and I did. When I returned, it was just eye-opening how much different Ukraine was. It wasn't like the Soviet Union that I had been living under. It almost is like that moment of when you're watching The Wizard of Oz and it's in black and white, and then you see the color just transform before you.
Wow.
What it felt like. It was so surreal. Mm. Because not only did I came back to an independent nation, but I came back to the beauty and the culture and the people and the hospitality that I've been missing. And that it made my heart so full. I felt so loved, and I felt so a part of my family. And it was one of the most remarkable journeys in my life. And I am just so grateful for that opportunity. Because, you know, when I left Ukraine, it had already been voted to become independent. Mm-hmm. So I did live in an independent Ukraine briefly. And then when I returned, it was an independent Ukraine. And now I just want to be able to return to an independent Ukraine again, where my family and my friends can live in peace, and they can live into the full maximum capacity that the Ukrainian people and the land can provide. It's just a truly a beautiful place, and I enjoy my journey there. So I traveled to different parts of the areas. My wife did make me tell me not to go to Kyiv because of the protests or the revolution
at that time.
Euromaidan happened, so I didn't do that. But I did go to an area just a bit north of Crimea. You know, Russia had been invading Crimea. The war had already started in 2014, and even in eastern Ukraine, there was war starting there. But people just didn't really know all the extent of it. The Russian occupation forces had wanted to push further into Ukraine, and the Ukrainian people stood up and they pushed back as much as they could until the Ukrainian military built up. So, but I'm sorry, back to the original part. But that was my journey back to Ukraine in 2014.
Jonathan, thank you so much for joining us and sharing a bit of your story. We appreciate it. Jonathan Polipov is a Ukrainian-American in the Fox Valley. Just ahead, a UW political scientist who studies Russian nationalism explains what Moscow wants. You can join in 800-642-1234. Back in a moment on the Ideas Network.